So I'm going to open us up in prayer. Lord, I just pray that you would give Lorraine and I the words to speak, to convey this Advent week of joy, and that they would be received. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. So this is my first time to speak in public, so just bear with me and just bear with my English and pronunciation. But I know God will gonna fill me and help me. Okay. So today we're gonna talk about the Advent joy. I was actually having hard time what to talk about the Advent joy, because this thing is not that familiar to me, although I've heard it like a couple of years ago since I moved here. And it's kind of surprised me when Jordan talked to me and asked me if I can do this. And I just respond like, yeah, I can do it. Yes, I will. Because in my head, I was thinking like, it's probably like 10, 15 minutes of talking right in front. And then the following week, Dawn and Jordan was like, no, you have to have a sermon and preach. I said, uh-oh. And that's why Jeremy's right here with me. Because I said, no, I'm not going to do this on my own. I need a support. And Jordan just like kept asking me, are you sure? Are you ready? How do you feel about it? I said, I have a sense, and God has been talking to me. It is about time. It is time for me to have that step to be get out of my comfort zone. Because for 15 years, I work as a manager, as a trainer, and I talk to people. And I said, why not to talk in church? And this is the right time for that. And I thank God for giving me the courage to speak in wisdom while doing this sermon for today. So we were talking about the joy. And we are going to talk about the three greatest destroyers of joy in your life, in our lives. And how are we going to restore joy in our lives for the first Christmas story? We were going to learn from Mary, Joseph, and the wise men. So I have a question first. What is the difference between happiness and joy? So upon studying this lesson, happiness depends on your circumstances. It's an external thing. It's like you have happiness while you are in those circumstances, but then it leaves. It's like I'm happy right now because I have a new phone for a while and then it leaves. But joy is a choice. It's an internal character that happens on the inside. Like, you can be joyful in the midst of struggles, in the midst of hurt. It's an internal character. It is the choice. And I read a book of the title is Choose Joy. And Kay Warren defined joy as this. And I really love this. She said, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control. And that is so true. Yeah. My second question is, what brings joy to you and what depletes joy, your joy? And we are going to talk about something that depletes our joys and restore our joy at the same time. There is something that fight against you having joy in your life. And sometimes you have to fight for that joy. We are living in a broken world right now. Whenever we watch a news, there's a lot of negative things. There's a lot of negatives happening around the world. And even in our personal lives, and even in our personal circumstances, there's a lot of negative things. My thing is, in a broken world that we are living now, we have to fight to have that joy in our heart. We don't just like be defeated with a bad situation, with the bad circumstances that we have. We have to choose joy, even if it's hard. But God will help us to have that joy, to restore that joy in our lives. There are the barriers, there are depleters, and there are enemies of joy. Now, if you want to restore joy in your life, the first thing that you have to do is to know what steals it. We have to know what steals the joy out of in our lives. And the number one destroyer of our joy is anxiety. So we were gonna read the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 to 37. Now in the 6 months of an angel, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." So, all of us see the first Christmas picture. Jesus, the baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the animals. But have we realized how stressful it was during that time for everybody in that picture? For Mary, for Joseph? And during the time, Mary wasn't that old. Well, I searched about like this historians or the Bible scholars believe that she was a teenager. She was like about 12, 13, 14, or at most 15, 16 years old. She's young. And she's engaged to be married to Joseph. During this time, it actually took like a year ahead. So they have to sign a contract for them to be engaged before they get married. And then, Mary has what's called a virgin birth. So when we read the book of Luke 26 to 37, so it was like Mary was young, Mary was engaged, and she is called as a virgin birth. What is that for her? And it's kind of like when the angel, the Gabriel angel, showed up and tell her that you're going to conceive. It's kind of like, how does she think about during that time? She was young. And she doesn't even have a relationship with men. And she never had sex. And then she found out that she's going to get pregnant. And during this time, for a woman to get pregnant without a husband, outside of marriage, is a very scandalous situation for her. And then the other thing is, a couple of days before she gives birth, she has to get a donkey and make at least 2 or 3 days trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I got pregnant and it was really hard. Is there any women here who are willing to ride on a donkey 3 days before you're going to give birth? It's going to be hard. I was wondering, like, good thing her water did not break. Because it's really hard. So imagine the stress that she has to go through, the anxiety that she has to deal with. And then, when they get to Bethlehem, there wasn't available for hotel, there's no motel, there's no place for them to stay. For them to feel like a convenient for her because she's pregnant, she's about to give birth and everything. It's really a stressful for Mary during that time. And that night, this young woman who's never had a relationship with a man, never had a baby, deliver her own baby on her own, without her mom, without her sisters, without a grandma, without a midwife, and without a doctor. I can imagine how hard it was and how stressful this situation are anxiety producing for Mary during that time. And it's really like, that steals all the joy for her. And then, when the angel told her about the baby that she's going to carry, she has been told that this baby is a son of God. So that baby will be a perfect child. And like, that's going to be hard. For the beginning, like you God put you in a situation where it's gonna be very inconvenient. Like first, you're gonna go get pregnant. What is gonna happen to my body? What changes? What other stuff that I need to deal with? And during this time, I know and I feel like how afraid and scared Mary was. But then, Let's go back to the Christmas story and read Luke 1:38. In Luke 1:38 said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So after all the things that the angel told her and all the stuff that she encountered, what Mary does was, she's afraid, she's scared, but she chooses to trust God. She chose to trust God and accept the plan that God has for her. And when I read this story, it's like all of us has to have or to make a decision like Mary. Like, even if it's hard, even if I don't know what's going to happen, Lord, I will drop everything. I will trust you. And I will accept what you have plans for me. Because I know that you are with us, you are for me, and you are not here, and you are not telling this for no reason. And discussing this, the anxiety feeling, the negative things that Mary has been dealing with during that time, here's the choice that Mary made that brought joy to her life. Like I said, when Mary was afraid, she chose to trust God and accept His plan. God has a purpose for your life, just like He has a purpose for Mary. But you can miss it. You will miss the purpose of your life unless you do what Mary did. And most of us, sometimes we miss the purpose of our life. And some people doesn't really know their purpose because they haven't made what Mary did. I remember when we found out that we're pregnant for the second time. It was a joyous moment for both of us, and we shared it too early because we're so excited. But then, even before, like months before I found out that I am pregnant, God has been telling me about miscarriage, but I just ignored it because I am trying to rebuke, like, no, that's not going to happen to me. But then it happened. And during the time, the process of, I mean, when I talked to my doctor and she told me about the miscarriage, that the baby doesn't have a heartbeat, I didn't cry. Because I was trying to be strong. And then my doctor started to cry. Because I told her, like, don't cry, because they're making me cry right now. I'm trying to hold my tears. And then she prescribed me a medicine and everything. So when we picked up the medicine that afternoon, and Jeremy has to go to work, and I was by myself and Jeremiah, and then I was holding the pills and went to the bathroom. I prayed. And I cried. I told God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be in this situation. But I'm trusting you. And help me to deal whatever it is. Because I don't know what's going to happen to my body. I don't know how my body will react to the medicine and everything afterwards. And that night, Jeremy came home like around 1 o'clock during that night. And I started to bleed and everything, and I miscarried like around 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, that's the most horrible things, experience that happened ever in my life. And that day, that night, the following night, I was in the bathroom and about to take a shower. But God wants to talk to me. So I sat down and started crying. You know, sometimes like you don't know what prayer you have to do. And then something like just drop in you or drop in your heart, and you started crying for no reason and nonstop. But there's a thing, like I was crying, but I have peace in my heart. And then I have a conversation with God. Okay, Lord, I know what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. I will drop up everything. I will lay down everything. And I don't want anything to be left in my heart and in my head and even to my husband, because we don't need that. So I was weeping. And I told God, but before I will do that, I have to do this. Our daughter will not go into heaven without a name. If you remember, if you see Heavens is for Real, there is a scene like that. So I remember that. And then I was crying, like, I'm not going to let her go to heaven without a name. So I named her Gail. And that night, I went to bed, and God gave me a vision. By the way, God talked to me whenever I'm sleeping in my dreams. So she showed me a baby. It looks like Jeremiah, which is black hair, curly hair. And she was in a basket. And when I saw that, I was have joy in my heart that I know that I did the right thing. Because as a believer, we know, and we're happy because we know where she is. She's in heaven, that's for sure. And that's the beauty as a believer. And when I show that one, it's just like an assurance, like a confirmation that I got her. She's in a safe place. And that is the most beautiful thing that happened. Because from there, I said, okay, Lord, what's next? I am ready. We are ready. And that's what I learned. And that's what I like. Oh, I experienced this with Mary, like Mary. But then, you know, some of us, like, sometimes something stops us to surrender. To surrender that hurt, to surrender that pain. Because we think, like, if we're going to keep it to ourselves, we're going to go get stronger. But we don't need that garbage. We don't need that extra baggage. And God wants us to drop off that extra baggage so we can run the race that He has for us. And that is our purpose, and that is our goal. So the second greatest destroyer of our joy in our life is a resentment over a hurt. Where does resentment come from? Resentment comes from when you've been hurt, when you've been wounded. You cannot be joyful and resentful at the same time. So in this, we're going to read the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not afraid to take Mary as your wife, For the child who has been conceived in her is the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So, how about this Christmas story? Have you ever considered how Joseph was wounded when she found out the news about his wife-to-be? Or wife? I mean, technically during that time, their husband and wife. But they're just not allowed to sleep together. They're not supposed to live in the same house. So, okay. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, the Bible says that Joseph and Mary were betrothed to each other, but this is mean much more than simply like engagement. To be betrothed, like I mentioned earlier, they have to sign a contract 1 year before they get the wedding. So today, if somebody got engaged and it doesn't work, people can just easily break up the engagement. But during that time, you cannot do that right on the spot, because betrothal was a legal contract that you would sign 1 year in advance, 1 year of your wedding day. And during this time, you're not sleeping together, you're not having an intimate relationship, you're not actually married yet, but in all senses, you are. You're just not living together because there's a legal contract. You're bound together. In fact, if you break that contract, the only way you could get away to that betrothal was actually through divorce. It was considered, I mean, because they're considered like as married. It was like marriage without sex prior to the wedding, and that was how binding it was before. So, like the book of Matthew said, like when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he was actually canceled. He called up the wedding, and he secretly wants Mary to send her somewhere just to protect her. It's just like reading this, and I was like, I admire Joseph, because during this time, when you found out that your boyfriend or your girlfriend got pregnant with somebody else, how do you feel? But upon reading this, that specific verse was like, he doesn't care if he was hurt, if he was being cheated, because what he does was he secretly called up the wedding and wants Mary to go somewhere so she can hide the pregnancy. And during this time, to be betrothed to somebody and get pregnant while you were single, while you don't have a husband, it's a very scandalous. And Joseph could have done, like, he can put Mary expose her to the public disgrace and embarrass her. He could have done that because he has all the rights to get hurt. But he admired him because during this time, he didn't do anything of that. And God could have done something else for both of them, because God tells Mary about the pregnancy, about the baby. And during the time, he wasn't. God could have done something like, okay, he can gather both of them and tell them, okay, so this is the plan. you're gonna go get pregnant. You guys were gonna go get married anyway, so they can hide the baby. But God did not do that. He did not do that. What do you think God has been trying to do to Joseph during this time? I believe that God wants to reveal Joseph's heart. Because like I said, he could have done something like embarrass her, expose her to the public, disgrace. But no, he didn't do that. Because God has been testing Joseph. It is actually a testing of his character. Is Joseph going to be compassionate to her? Is he going to be a forgiving person? Is he going to be mean to her? Those are the stuff that God has been wanted to reveal. And Joseph did not do all of those stuff. She protected Mary. And anyway, Joseph is a godly man. She always do what is right. And that's the right things to do. But God did not even left Joseph with all the agony and hurt that he was feeling that time. Well, actually, God sent another angel to explain everything to Joseph. That she needs to take Mary. And that is actually a beautiful example of grace. I mean, have you thought like if somebody were gonna do that nowadays? Maybe few, or maybe one in a zillion people will do that. But God knows Joseph. And like us, and like our experience during the miscarriage, what God has been trying to test us is our character. How are we going to respond? We respond that we trusted Him, we trust Him, we surrendered everything, and we're honoring His timing. Now, because Joseph did not get bitter, after that, God blessed him in an incredible way. He gets the blessing. Sorry. He was given a privilege of raising the Son of God. And he became the stepfather to the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And what an honor to have a privilege like that, to be in a situation with to Joseph. Now think about this: the first destroyer of our joys, like Mary, is struggling with fear that first Christmas, while Joseph was struggling with anger. If you're going to choose joy like Mary, you have to trust God and follow His plan. And like Joseph, choose to show grace and let it go. You got to decide what you want in life. Do you want to be bitter or do you want to be blessed? It's totally up to you. And God will give that choice. And like I saw this Bible verse that I really love and really gave me this is really true. In Nehemiah 8:10, it says like, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And that is so true. I can testify that. We are stronger than before. all the struggles that we had, and trusting God with all our hearts and with all our mind and with everything we have, we are stronger than yesterday. And that's the blessing that we got and keep having from God. So now, my husband is not just a mannequin here. So he's going to discuss, he's going to talk about the third greatest destroyer of the joy.
I'm not just the eye candy. So totally off topic, Lorraine didn't ride on a donkey when she was pregnant, but she did get inside of the Z4, which is very hard to get inside of. She complained, but she did it. Okay, so the greatest destroyer of joy is confusion. When you are confused about life, joy drains out of your life. Now we're going to read Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, "Where is the Messiah? Where the Messiah was to be born?" They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasure, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. In the first Christmas, everybody is confused except the angels, because they knew what was going on. Joseph was confused. The shepherds are confused. The wise men are confused. King Herod, who lives in Jerusalem, is confused. King Herod is supposed to be the king of the Jews, but then he's suddenly hearing the King of the Jews is born. What's that about? The Bible says all of Jerusalem was confused. The Bible says that Jerusalem was in an uproar when they heard that the Messiah was born. It wasn't silent for them because they were all confused. The wise men's confusion had to deal with what direction to take. They've seen the star in the east, and they were heading west. They don't have any map, and they don't have any schedule. They are confused. They just go. When the wise men were confused, they chose to follow God's light one step at a time. Several things about the wise men. They are seekers. They seek God. They are investing time and money and energy to find Jesus. What are you willing to invest time, money, and energy to get to know your Creator? Are you willing to invest whatever it takes to discover God?
So, that's the third greatest destroyer of our joy. It's the confusion. So, like Jeremy said, that during this time, the wise men are traveling, but they don't know which way to take. Until they decided to just follow what God has been telling them and show them the light one step at a time. They followed the light one step at a time. It's like in this situation and during this time, the wise men are coming from different countries. They went to find Jesus. They are willing, whatever it takes, to just find God. And in this story, the revelation of this to me was like, do we have a heart like the wise men? That even if we don't know, but we know that something's very important that is about to happen or that happened. And they're willing to do that extra mile for God. Because they want a celebration. They want to see the King of Jews. So in this topic, the question that I have in my mind was like, are you willing to invest time, money, and energy like the wise men did? Like nowadays, especially during pandemic and after pandemic, people are very like, okay, I'm just the house is convenient for me, so I'm just gonna go watch the online sermon, and I don't want to go. That happened, but the question is, do you want to stay in that situation of your life? Like you don't want to get out and to socialize with other people. Or even just a simple like, okay, God speaks to you that, okay, I'm going to give this blessing to other, to be a channel of blessing to other. But if we don't have the courage to do an extra mile, to know God and to discover Him, what are we going to do? Just to be more comfortable? Because it is just convenient for us. here the wise men says like it's very inconvenient for them. They had to travel. And during the time they don't have map. They were just following the light from the stars that God gave them. And they don't even have a smooth joyride or road trip. They don't. There's a lot of obstacle that happened to them. But they choose to trust God, to follow God's direction. And that's what we need in our lives. We need to know our God. And even if it's uncomfortable for us or unfamiliar to us, we have to have the say, yes, Lord. We need to have that. Yes, Lord, we will do that. I will do that, no matter what it takes. Because I know that it is from you. And I will be saved, no matter what happens. So that's the end of our sermon. Thank you for giving us the privilege to share and to speak today. Blessings for everybody.
Well done. I'll close this out in prayer. Amen. Father God, we thank you for the word that you brought forth through Lorraine and Jeremy. God, we ask that you would seat this firmly into our hearts and into our minds so we can go forth and speak joy and your love to those in need outside of this church, Father God. Father, stir up the joy within us and help us to choose it every day, in every moment, no matter the circumstance. Lord, I ask that you bless us as we go. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.